Michael got home last night, and like he went on the couch at 7:30, and he was already asleep.
I was very, very tired for some reason last night.
And then you know what he does, Rich? The most annoying thing ever. He just sleeps and snores super loud the entire night.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I almost stop breathing and die every single time I sleep. I apologize.
No, okay.
Next time I'll make sure that I actually stop breathing, so it's more convenient for you.
Listen, I feel bad that you're not breathing, but at the same time, it's like you can't relax because you're like... House is vibrating and shaking.
The house is not vibrating.
Goddamn...
Fuck off.
It's a 5.7 on the Richter scale.
No, you know what? When we go on vacation, I have to share a room with this fucker. I don't get more than 1.5 hours of sleep at a time because every hour on the hour, it's like, Mike, you're snoring. And I have to turn over every hour on the hour. Mike, you're snoring. If I got more than like 10 hours of sleep that entire week, it would have been a miracle.
That's going to be the cold open, by the way.
Thanks.
I had all that recorded.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple of topics we have prepared for you, but that doesn't prevent us from going off the deep end. Sometimes we go a little bit off the rails here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. It's a little tough not to recently here in the Philadelphia area. I mean, we're coming off of so many good things, primarily the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, but it's not just that. It's also just the winter hasn't been really that harsh lately.
Things are looking up for Philly.
Yeah, right.
For the time being.
The sports... Besides the Eagles, the Flyers and the Sixers are actually doing pretty decent as well.
Yeah,
it's a good time right now to be here in Philadelphia. So sometimes it's more accessible to go off the rails, if you will. But before we delve into all the sports that we want to get to and all the news topics, Mike, what are you up to? What have you been up to? What's up in Mike's world?
In Mike's world, well, I got a chance to watch one of the. Fall dramas that's going to be nominated for a couple awards when the Oscars roll around, The Florida Project. I mentioned it way back when in the entertainment entree several months ago. It's a story about a young girl growing up in the poor areas around Walt Disney World in Florida. And this movie, you know, was on my radar because it sounded interesting and unique, but actually watching it, it was really, really good. I thought it was going to be good, but I didn't think it would be that good. It's a movie.
Okay.
Yeah. What it does is it follows the story of this young girl and her mother who are struggling to make ends meet in the poor sections outside of Walt Disney World. So apparently this is a real life problem. There's a lot of really run down, poor areas outside of what is quote unquote the happiest place on earth. And it's sort of this juxtaposition between these, I don't want to call them slums, but like project-y type areas.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, against the backdrop of, you know, helicopters flying in VIP tourists and castles and, you know, all the whimsy and magic of Disney World. And so you have this kid that is living next to this, and that thing is unattainable for her. And she's desperately trying to hold on to that sense of childhood wonderment and innocence. As her mother spirals further and further out of control to try and make ends meet. And it's honestly a heartbreaking movie. It's sad if you really think about what's happening, about this kid living in that situation, having this magical thing that is completely out of grasp, even though it's right there, a few blocks away. But that's what makes it so compelling, because there's no movie like that out there right now. And the acting is phenomenal. You know, this 8-year-old girl and this mother, you know, two actresses I've never heard of. They did a really good job. Willem Dafoe is in it. as the manager of this, you know, rundown little motel where these two people are staying. And, you know, he's grappling with, he's got a business to run, but he feels bad for these people. And he sees that this girl isn't being properly taken care of. But, you know, what is his role as the manager of the motel? And he sort of grapples with that, you know, like, how do I, you know, try and make things better for them while also trying to save a few dollars at this crappy rundown establishment. But it's fantastic. The characters are immediately likable. It's really heartbreaking. It is such a unique concept and story. It's not so much a point A to point B narrative. And I was talking to my brother after we watched it, and we both agreed that you don't even really need to pay too much attention to even the dialogue, because you're mostly just like watching it visually unfold. You know, just experiencing it. Like, the kids are babbling in their little kiddie voices, and, you know, they're talking about, you know, nothing of any real consequence. But you're really just experiencing them try to maintain their childhood amongst all of this other sort of sadness around them. It's really, really, really good.
And what's it on? Is it on Netflix?
It's I rented it on demand on Comcast. Okay. That's the Florida Project. I can tell I've piqued your interest.
Yeah, no, it seems like an interesting dichotomy.
It really is. And I was like wondering, I was like, is this going to be too sad? Is this going to be?
Yeah, if you're feeling too high off of the Eagles Super Bowl win,
yeah, this will knock you right back down. Let me tell you, you got to balance it out, Rich. Yeah. You got to balance it out. I'm just trying to look up some of the awards that it's been nominated for.
It's an interesting duality.
It is. And I was really, really surprised at how well they pulled it off. So it's actually only nominated for one Academy Award. That's Willem Dafoe for Best Supporting Actor. But I'm telling you, it was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Willem Dafoe. How can you go wrong with Willem Dafoe?
You cannot go wrong with Willem Dafoe, definitely. But it has been getting a lot of great critical response Rotten Tomatoes. It's got an 8.8 out of 10.
All right,
for
so
96% fresh.
You're
rating,
looking
so.
For a serious, dramatic movie. There you go. That's apparently Mike recommends.
Yes, highly recommends.
All right.
So that's what I was doing. I watched that, played some video games. The power went out. You may have seen a video of JB screaming at a candle. That was fun. That's how we spend our weekends now that there's no more football.
Sad to say.
Yeah. That's what I was doing. Rich, what have you been up to recently?
So, at the end of last week's special podcast that we did about the Super Bowl, I mentioned Super Mario 64.
Right.
And just out of coincidence, I just happened to decide to just roll with it. And I got a emulator and a ROM, and I went and replayed Super Mario 64.
Nice.
Pulled it out.
Did you play the whole thing? Are you just dabbling in it, or...?
No, I was just pretty much just going through the basic levels, enjoying it. It was nice to go through all the levels. And then what really piqued my interest was I saw somebody on YouTube. He actually collected like all 120 stars in the game in under like 2 hours.
I've never actually played it because I never had a Nintendo.
And I was so jealous. I was just like,
this sounds really difficult.
This guy collected this guy basically achieved 100% completion on a game that took me like 2 months to finish. You know?
Is that really tough, getting 120 stars?
Well, yeah, because you literally have to collect every star in every world in Super Mario 64. And there's, I can't do math. There's... I think 12 levels, I think.
That's a lot of different levels to collect stars in.
Yeah. And then you have to collect the secret stars, too, that are in the castle, too.
Okay. So you need to know the levels backwards and forwards, and you also need to know the secret levels.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it just blew me away that this guy did it in, like, under 2 hours flat. And I was like, okay, wow. Let me see what I can do. And I think I got, like, up to 10 in, like, an hour. I was like... Okay, no, this isn't happening.
No speed runs for Rich.
Yeah, that's not happening. No, but it was fun to dig it up and you know, just relive those Nintendo days,
reliving the childhood.
Yeah,
does it still hold up?
Personally, it does. I like playing it. And I don't know. There's just like a lot of things that for me personally, Super Mario 64 was one of the few games that was like you know, before the internet was around, it was like, right. Oh, there's a secret level here, you know, like, whoa.
Well, because you discovered the things on your own.
Yeah.
Now you just go online right. and you're like, cheat codes or secret levels.
Yeah, yeah. Or you watch a YouTube video and some right, guy does right. it and you're like, oh, I didn't know that that is a shortcut to there or whatever.
It's so true. I remember word of mouth, like rumors about secrets. You know, your one friend's like, oh, I heard from a friend of a friend that if you do a backwards jump four times and yada, 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 you know. And I remember, like, stuff like that in, like, Crash Bandicoot. Like, jump on this animal 10 times, you get a bonus life.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
Right.
And you try it, and it works. Yeah. And it's like, oh, that sense of discovery was so good in those old games.
Right. So that always resonates with me a little bit. So I guess that'll always hold a sentimental part in my gaming platform.
Yeah.
That Super Mario 64 gets a little bit of a push. But, no, it was good to play those old games again. So I had that over. It was a very, very rainy weekend in Philadelphia.
It was rainy.
Yeah, I didn't really feel like doing anything. Yeah, I did that. And then also my Eagles Super Bowl gear came in on Saturday, and I made a post about it on Instagram and Twitter. So if you guys caught that, it felt so good. It like that was the moment it like hit home. Like, wow, I'm holding up the Eagles. Super Bowl championship t-shirt.
I'm so jealous because as we're recording this, I still have not got mine. I ordered mine the day after the Super Bowl. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know.
JB got his, and for some reason, like, oh, I don't know.
Man, JB's lucky.
He is. And he's still missing a couple of his things. I'm telling you, I spent so much on Eagles gear, it's almost shocking.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if there was a button that said buy all on the NFL shop website, I probably...
Good.
At one point, I had a wall clock in my cart, and I'm like, I don't need a wall clock. This is not something you need. But I was like this close on like a calendar that wasn't going to ship until April, mid-April. Like, why am I going to wait until
2018?
Yeah, it was a 2018 calendar. Like, this will ship no later than April, whatever. And I'm like, why am I going to buy a calendar that's not even going to get here?
Third done already.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I was this close to getting a wall clock and a calendar, but I didn't.
I'm glad you didn't.
I pulled back.
All right.
Instead, I got a mug. And a whole bunch of other stuff.
You can always
too.
Use another mug.
I love mugs. Have you ever seen my mugs? I've got Jurassic Park. I've got Crispy Noodle mug.
Yep.
That our friend made for us.
Yep.
I got mugs. Mugs are fun.
I got mugs.
I got
Michael
mugs.
Costanzo.
There you go.
2024. I got mugs.
I don't drink that much coffee, but I got mugs.
All right. Well, you know what? Since we're mentioning Eagles, I think it's time to get to the first part of the show. It's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Sports coming at you in your face here. And for this first portion, we like to hit a quick topic as fast as we can in 2 minutes or less. It's time for the 2 minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right, start the clock up and go. 2 minutes.
All right, this week in the 2 minute drill, I just realized we haven't done this in several weeks.
Yeah, it's been a
while.
Might
be a little bit rusty. But this week in the 2 minute drill, we're not talking football, we're talking Olympics. The Olympics are well underway in South Korea, Pyeongchang, South Korea. Some of the major storylines throughout the games involve some geopolitical aspects going on. Russia was banned from the games, so their athletes are performing under the moniker, quote-unquote, the Olympic athletes from Russia. It's really interesting because the first time I saw the symbol, I was like, what is that? I've never seen that before. But they're playing under the Olympic flag, and any medals earned at any ceremonies held, they will not fly the Russian flag or play the Russian national anthem. They'll be replaced with the Olympic flag and the Olympic anthem. So I thought it was interesting that the athletes are still allowed to compete, but Russia itself is like, you can't earn these medals.
Yeah.
Your athletes can earn them, but not Russia.
It's like the perfect compromise, I think, because I feel bad for those athletes. They wouldn't get a chance to compete. I mean, they trained 4 years to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So I'm glad that they still have a chance to do it, but they don't recognize Russia.
Yeah, it's a good middle ground there.
Yeah.
Another middle ground being reached here, and another big story involves, of course, North and South Korea competing as one unified group. This isn't the first time that the Koreas have come together to compete as one, the last time being the 2003 Asian Winter Games. But the 2018 Winter Olympics is certainly the largest and most prominent event in which they've done this. It's cool to see that two countries that are still technically at war come together and compete together under one flag. I thought that was pretty cool. A good symbol for hope and peace and all that.
Yeah, maybe it's a sign of things to come.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think March 1st, North Korea is going to start testing more bombs, but that's okay.
All right.
For the time being.
Well, at least right now they are working together, so yeah. It's nice to see that.
Yeah,
anything's awesome. Possible at the Olympics. Yeah, there you go.
Have you been following the Olympics? We don't talk about the Olympics because it moves too fast for us on the podcast.
Right. You can't really do it on a weekly podcast.
You don't follow them?
Not really.
I love the Olympics. I watch curling.
I like to get the big news stories. So I heard about the snowboarder, the female snowboarder that was lighting the world on fire.
She won gold.
She was
17 years old.
17 years old. She's doing insane stunts and everything. That was pretty cool.
Curling? No curling? You don't like curling?
I mean,
curling is, for whatever reason, curling is just fascinating to me.
Wait a minute.
Like the whole concept of.
Wait a minute.
What?
So wait, curling is absolutely interesting, but not golf.
No, because there's strategy in curling.
There's strategy in golf?
I don't know about that.
Oh, come on.
You hit a little tiny ball really far. In curling, when they go up to the line, you can see how they slowly rotate the big stone thing and it's spinning and they're sweeping. It's.
I can't believe
it's golf. Exciting.
You're going to put curling over golf.
Yes.
You
absolutely.
Bastard. You absolutely. Are a son of a bitch. I can't believe you would do that.
I don't know what to tell you.
All right. Curling? Well, guess what?
What?
Masters is coming first week of April. You're not getting out of it. We're talking golf.
I'm not trying to get out of it. I'm just saying curling's better than golf.
And you're absolutely as far as I'm concerned, I think you're absolutely wrong.
Wait, you don't like curling at all, though?
I mean, I think it's all right, but I don't think it's
I think it's fun.
My jaw doesn't hit the ground for curling.
You know why? Because it's like bocce ball. You ever play bocce ball? You're Italian.
Yeah.
You play bocce ball.
Yeah.
It's like
you
bocce
gotta
ball.
Get the bocce out. It is.
Yeah, we always do that for family get-togethers
in
spring and summer. But it's like bocce ball, except on ice with giant round stone things.
Right, but see, when we play bocce ball, it always ends with somebody being like, oh, you cheated! I shot you! And then ends in a fight.
In your very stereotypical Italian accents, of course.
Right. You touch them! What do they call them?
You
things?
Touch them, my spaghetti!
But what do they say?
This is the bocce ball.
Oh, I was thinking of the curling. I don't know what they call the thing.
The stones?
You touch my stone! How dare you touch my stone!
You touch my stones?
You touch my stone! I don't know.
Okay. I don't know what your family get-togethers are like.
You're breaking my stones!
You're breaking my stones!
That's what I'm going with.
Italian families do that.
Yeah.
Break your stones.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
All right.
And for those that didn't catch the original meme that went around, this is what we were talking about with touching everything, being Italian, touching everything.
Somebody touch my spaghetti!
Yeah, don't touch the spaghetti!
That is still my favorite clip this past month.
Yes, so there you go. So don't touch it. Don't touch the stone! Don't touch the stone. Don't touch the spaghetti. Don't touch the ball. All right?
There's a lot of things that you shouldn't touch
if you're
Italian.
Thank you. All right. Now we got to jump into the Eagles' final notes here. The drunkenness has, I think, officially starting to wore off, and we're getting sober from the past week. It's just last week was absolutely magical and surreal.
I'm sorry, I can't stop laughing because you mentioned the drunkenness. It's finally wearing off. Are you reading what I actually have written for the rundown? Kelsey Dew's awesome speech.
Oh, that was Mike apparently can't type.
Can't type.
He actually wrote Kelsey Dew awesome speech.
No, Dew's.
Dew's awesome
Dew's
speech.
Awesome speech.
All right, so I guess with that, Mike wants me to play part of the Kelsey speech, which...
Well, lead up to it first.
Yeah,
you got to talk about the parade.
Right, the parade on Thursday was amazing to behold.
You were there.
I was there. I
couldn't make it down.
Right.
I watched it from the comfort of my living room.
How was the coverage? Yeah, because I have no idea.
The coverage was fantastic. This is the thing. I know being there is, such an experience and so incredible to be with the fans and feel the crowd roar and be part of that. But I have to say this. Watching it on TV wasn't all that bad because you got to see everything. You got to see, Kelsey jump out of the bus and interact with the fans and Doug Peterson jump out and show the fans the trophy. You got to see all those cool little moments leading up to it. And all throughout, you hear the commentators talking about it and you feel the newscaster's excitement too. You can see them grinning ear to ear. You can feel everybody covering it was legitimately excited to be a part of it. You got to see everything. You got to see the crowds, the people on the roofs. I mean, it was really, really good coverage.
Yeah, those bastards on the roof, they had the best view of the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the prime seats, actually. So, yeah, I made it down. I was at the art museum at the end.
How was it at the art museum?
Pandemonium.
Were you on the parkway, Egan's Oval? Where were you?
Right on the street.
You made it right to the street?
The oval part of the street, yeah.
Okay. But were you street side, or were you like 10 rows back?
Well, I mean, obviously, yeah, there was a throng of people. There was no
people
way.
People were camping out
right.
like for days.
Oh, yeah. They were the ones all the way up close.
Right.
But I mean, I was there. I was part of the crowd. It was crazy.
More or less than 700,000.
I think more.
That's the number that's going around.
I think that's vastly underestimated.
Anybody that's watched the broadcast of it, there's no way there was only 700,000. The entirety of Broad Street was lined by people 10 rows deep.
Yeah.
I
don't know who came up with that figure, but they're wrong.
British counting group.
Yeah, go count your beans.
Okay.
That's what I said.
Is that what British people do?
Yeah.
One bean, two beans.
I don't know. That's what I imagine.
Yeah, 700,000. There's no way.
Right. Vastly underestimated it, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. And especially at the park, at the library.
Have you seen the pictures? It's like just a sea of people.
Yeah, at the museum and the parkway, it was ridiculous. It went all the way as far as the eye could see, just people in Eagles gear.
Wow.
So I highly doubt it was 700,000. But... So I was there at the end of the whole shebang, and I was there for the Jason Kelce speech. This was awesome. The whole thing's 6 minutes long, so we can't play the whole thing. But I think we are both in agreement in what we want you to hear, mm-hmm. and that is the part about underdogs and breakfast. So here it is, a short snippet of Jason Kelce's epic speech at the Eagles Super Bowl parade right at the Art Museum.
Bunch of underdogs. And you know what underdogs is? It's a hungry dog. And Jeff Statlin has had this in our building for 5 years. It's a quote in the O-line room that has stood on the wall for the last 5 years. Hungry dogs run faster. And that's this team. Bottom line is, we wanted it more. All the players, all the coaches, Jeffrey Lurie, everybody wanted it more. And that's why we're up here today, and that's why we're the first team in Eagles history to hold that freaking trophy. It's y'all, Philadelphia. For 52 years, y'all have been waiting for this. You want to talk about underdog? You want to talk about a hungry dog? For 52 years, you've been starved in this championship. Everybody wonders why we're so mean. Everybody wonders why the Philadelphia Eagles aren't the nicest fans. If I don't eat breakfast, I'm pissed off.
Yeah, I just love that quote at the end.
That.
I don't eat breakfast. I am pissed off.
Yeah.
Love it.
Threw in some other colorful language there, but yeah.
Right.
Kelce's speech was just phenomenal.
You're telling
me. And he's a Philadelphia hero right now.
You're telling me. So I was there when he gives this speech.
Yeah.
And he's screaming at the top of his lungs. And it's great because he's so intense with what he wanted to say. It's pumping up the crowd that I'm in.
Right.
They're getting louder. In return, it's making him getting more like adrenaline and making him trying to be as loud as possible.
Feedback.
Which is feeding back to the crowd. It just kept getting louder and louder and louder. It was unbelievable.
I mean, you can hear it in the clip. People kept getting louder and louder.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It was unbelievable.
It's going to go down as one of the greatest speeches from a sports figure ever.
Yeah.
I mean, it was absolutely fantastic. I mean, obviously, he can't play the whole clip here on the show, but he does this bit where he goes through, like, you know, half the roster, naming all the players
and all the criticisms
leveled at them, and somehow they all come together to win the Super Bowl. I mean, that, like, it's cool and it's badass, but it's also really inspirational, too.
It's going to be a movie.
This
has to be a movie in 5 or 10 years.
The dude stood up on the art museum steps in a mummer's outfit and led a chant with F-bombs on live broadcast television.
And nobody complained.
And nobody complained.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great.
That's something that I think is underreported is... Kelce leads the profane Eagles, the Philly chant that we can't say.
Yeah, you know it. You've heard it.
Right. And it goes completely through the news broadcast, and nobody called it in on the FCC.
Yeah.
Which is the primary way that those fines are levied.
Right.
It's usually somebody, complaining to the FCC. So,
I think that's stupid.
So, Philadelphia, you did good.
Yeah.
You did great.
Yeah. Honestly, it makes me really proud to be an Eagles fan.
Yeah.
When you see players like that step up and give such an amazing, moving speech, and players have been doing it all week. I mean, you have Nick Foles and his speech about failure, and, I mean, God, you can tell that these players, I was saying it all year, and I'll say it again right now, there's something special about them. There's a unique group of guys that bonded together to get this done, and it's that type of attitude that got them through it.
Yep.
Kelsey's attitude, Nick Foles' attitude,
Doug Peterson. I mean, really,
balls to the wall.
When you really think of, I watched this clip today of it's titled "Every Goal Had a Beginning" or something like that.
Okay,
it's on the Eagles' official YouTube page, and they
is that the one that goes backwards?
Yeah, they trace everything backwards.
Yes,
and it's amazing that like. This time, back in training camp, Doug Peterson just simply says to the team, 7-9 sucks.
Yeah.
This team's not going to go 7-9. If we go 7-9, that means we're not doing our jobs because the coaching staff has put in so much work, and that means we're not living up to the work that we prepared for.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to see how starting from that spark, just everything.
Yeah.
I mean, every obstacle that was thrown at Doug Peterson, he rebounded from.
Yeah,
the injuries, the criticism, Carson Wentz going down.
Yeah,
Nick Foles' first struggles. Like, yep. It's amazing when you trace back everything this season.
I think everybody should go back and really listen to Jason Kelsey's parade speech and the speech he gives immediately after winning on the field. Both of those together, I mean, he speaks to that same thing about how through the adversity, this team was resilient, you know, from the front office to the coaches, all the way down to the players and then to the fans. I mean, the whole organization, the city, the team, just one resilient underdog,
yeah.
Like you said. Gotta love it.
Boy, man, it's a run to remember, and I'll never forget it. I won't forget being at the art museum last Thursday. It was a sight to behold. And I'm glad I was there and glad that we all got to experience this team and this team winning it all. But, you know, unfortunately, we're now a week after the Super Bowl.
Right.
You already have to start game planning for the next season coming
That's
up.
That's right. Football is a year-round sport, buddy.
Yep. And other teams are already begun poaching our stellar coaching staff.
Yep. You knew it was going to happen. Every time that a team makes it deep in the playoffs or wins the Super Bowl, there's going to be a little bit of quote-unquote brain drain there.
Yep.
Where teams try to pick up all their assistant coaches for their own coaching positions.
Yep. The first move that was announced was our quarterback's coach, John DeFilippo, is off to Minnesota to become the new offensive coordinator there. But the bigger one, I think, is Frank Reich, our offensive coordinator, is going to be the head coach for the Indianapolis Colts because Josh McDaniels is a son of a bitch.
Oh, that guy.
And didn't live up to his word.
Just another reason why the Patriots, they're just such a pompous.
Josh McDaniels better win a Super Bowl next year, or I don't understand where he goes.
I don't know.
Or he better succeed Bill Belichick or something. I don't understand. He lost that move. Just screwed over his job security with any other team.
Oh,
why?
Yeah.
Why would I even consider hiring that guy when he turned down the head coaching job for the Colts the night of?
Yeah,
he was.
I mean, they made the
hired.
Announcement too.
Yeah,
like the Colts blasted it out there everywhere. They were super excited, and then McDaniels was like, "Nah." And you know what's crazy? You know what really speaks volumes about the move is his agent quit after that.
Yeah,
like think about that. The agent's like, "Nope, this is a bad situation.
Right? This guy's a jerk."
Yeah. Well, you don't do that. As a professional, you don't do that. You don't make an agreement, and then just the day of, you're
the
just
assistants
like, nope.
Already signed their contract to go over to Indianapolis. He left all them high and dry. Yeah. Patriots, jerk off.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say about that.
That really sucks.
So now because of that, we lose Frank Reich, our offensive coordinator. But is it?
It's all part of Bill Belichick's plan.
Yeah. Does it worry you that we lost two of our coaching staff?
I mean, every time you lose, some coaching staff after such a monumental season, it does worry you a little bit. I will say this, though, that I think we got what we needed to out of the quarterbacks coach John DeFilippo and offensive coordinator Frank Reich. They came in to help Doug Peterson install his offense, help groom Carson Wentz, because he was kind of like a diamond in the rough, Carson Wentz, last year. You know, he like showed signs of potential, but his mechanics were a little shaky at times. He, you know, started to regress towards his college ways at the end of the season. So they came in, they polished it up. They got it to where it needed to be. But here's the thing. Doug Peterson is or was a former NFL quarterback. He was a former quarterback coach. He was a former offensive coordinator. So he has a lot of that same experience. And really, during the games, he had full control over the offense, and he called all the offensive plays. So I don't know that they're really losing something that Doug Peterson couldn't pick up on his own. I mean, it sucks that these two important pieces are now missing.
Yeah.
But I think Peterson and Carson Wentz are in a position where they can sort of pick up the slack.
I would be more worried if we lost Jim Schwartz.
Jim Schwartz is the big one, because Doug Peterson's offensive-minded. You need somebody as brilliant on the other side of the ball.
Yeah. So I'm glad that out of everything, we didn't lose Jim Schwartz.
He was the one coordinator we could not afford to lose.
Yeah. So out of everything, I think we're fine.
Yeah, I think we're okay for now. It's interesting because, you know, as I'm saying that Doug Peterson can do the job, that we shouldn't worry. At the time of recording, the Eagles aren't really showing any signs of being on the market for an offensive coordinator. So it's leading a lot of people to speculate, and, you know, it's got the rumor mill turning. Could the Eagles try to promote former Eagle running back and current running back coach Deuce Staley? So remember, this guy's been with the organization through three coaches, 7 years.
Yeah.
He knows the offense. He's played under Andy Reid. He may have even played with Doug Peterson for a little bit. I don't know whether their timelines cross. But apparently he's got a lot of respect. He's really knowledgeable about the game. And look at what he did with the running back group this year. Running back by committee, taking these guys. Jay Ajayi is injured. Corey Clement is an undrafted rookie. And LeGarrette Blount is on the wrong side of his career. And he made them a formidable force this year. Top five rushing attack. Could Deuce Staley get the nod for offensive coordinator?
I don't see why not. I mean, that's a really
impressive
feat.
Three different coaching regimes have kept him around. That says something.
Right. So, I mean, I don't see why not. I definitely think they promote something within.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going
to go. I don't want them to go out and get somebody who's going to change the dynamic. You want to try and keep the dynamic as – I mean, you want people to challenge your way of thinking to keep things fresh, but you want to sort of maintain the positive direction you're heading in.
Yeah, so I think they promote from within, and yeah, I don't see why not Deuce Staley, because yeah, that running back core he helped put together
was
great and helped alleviate pressure off of Carson Wentz and Nick Foles,
and he helped keep Doug Peterson balanced.
That's right.
You know, like, hey, don't have Carson Wentz throw 60 times a
game. Yeah, that's not good.
The last time they did that, they lost to Kansas City. And then Deuce Staley probably was like, no.
Can we not do that?
We're going to run a little bit more.
Hey, you got that guy, LeGarrette Blount? Remember that guy?
Yeah. Right here? And we also just traded for Jay Ajayi over here. And I think who's the future starter, Corey Clement. That dude's got skill.
What a pickup. Undrafted free agent. That makes me feel like, draft schmaft. We're fine.
What did I say last year? Don't take a running back in the first round. You can find running back talent anywhere.
Almost.
Unless you're getting an Adrian Peterson or an Ezekiel Elliott, there's no reason to take a running back.
Or Leonard Fournette. Someone who's guaranteed.
Leonard Fournette's pretty good.
Leonard Fournette basically elevated Blake Bortles to the AFC Championship game.
What, are you telling me Blake Bortles isn't Pro Bowl quarterback?
Well, I don't know. Jacksonville apparently believes in him. They've actually, I don't know.
They believe in him because Philly hasn't accepted any trade offers for Nick Foles.
Right? Yeah.
That's the only, as soon as teams get a whiff of Nick Foles being available, you can bet that every team is going to be like, oh, we have no faith in our current quarterback.
It's
going to happen.
Everyone's going to have a second look at whoever their starting quarterback is.
I really hope Foles sticks around, but man, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, but we'll see. I mean, we'll walk down that road when it comes
down. Maybe he retires.
Yeah, I mean,
he was thinking about retiring, and then he came back. I watched a bit of the Ellen DeGeneres interview.
Yeah.
And Nick Foles is just a phenomenal guy. You know, he was open and honest about how he stopped having fun. He was really depressed.
Did you notice he said, I never even wanted to pick up a football after that.
Yeah, and he said there was a time where he didn't pick up a football.
Yeah.
So maybe now, you know, he had a second go of it. He faced his fear. He achieved the ultimate thing. Maybe he just straight up retires.
Going out on top.
Got a Seinfeld that thing, you know?
Yeah.
Go out on top.
But we'll cross all that cross all those bridges when we have to. For right now, everything is good here in the city of brotherly love. As well as not just the Eagles, but the other teams, the Sixers and the Flyers are actually doing well ever since the Eagles Super Bowl win.
Yeah. Racking up a bunch of wins.
Yeah. So maybe winning is contagious here in the area. And
let's hope so.
Who knows? Maybe we can get another playoff run in the books. Cause right now I think the Flyers are third in their division. Oh. So that would,
I don't know how hockey playoffs works, but third sounds pretty good.
Yeah. That's a nice comfortable spot to be in.
Okay.
And then the Sixers, I think, are in seventh place, so they could still blow it.
I mean, you barely have to be good in basketball to make the playoffs.
Yeah, you just have to have a .500 record, essentially.
Not even.
And be breathing.
That's
it. That's all you need.
Is the team breathing? They make the playoffs.
Excellent. But,
it'll give us something better to talk about in the spring months other than golf.
You bastard. You have to take digs at my golf.
Of course I do.
You will pay for your treachery, all right? We're going to go to commercial, and I'm going to have a word with you.
With such dramatic music. You're going to pay.
Yes, all right? With my ghost piano music, all right? Okay. It's happening.
Sounds very threatening.
But you know what? Yeah, we're going to take a break and exit out of the sports sampler. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we got the entertainment entree. Then we got a side dish. I totally forgot about this. We're gonna play a quick little game here with Mike and his brother Bruno. And then we got the non-fortune cookie odd news. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
What do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler, and we're moving right along into the second part of our show here, going into the world of movies, TV, pop culture, everything like that. Folks, it's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Hot you, my spunk, And there you go. The song remixes keep piling in for our favorite Italian sound clip here.
Somebody touch my spaghetti!
And somebody remixed it with Redbone from Childish Gambino. And I think that's a pop hit right there. I don't know.
I really liked it.
Why is that not being played on all radio stations in all the world?
That should be a top 40 hit right
there. Yeah, I want that. Yeah, this is what I want to hear on the radio.
I should be getting airtime, yeah.
You know what? 2018 has been a hell of a year already. The Eagles won the Super Bowl, and we got somebody touching my spaghetti.
That's really the only two things you need in 2018.
Yes.
To make it a good year.
Exactly.
Somebody touching my spaghetti and the Super Bowl. That's
perfect.
I am happy with the world right now.
Yes.
Everything is better.
So there you go. If you want to look it up, all you got to do is Google Childish Gambino's Redbone with somebody touching my spaghetti. And you can listen to that remix to your heart's content if you want to.
That is the clip that just keeps on giving.
It is.
It's fantastic.
Keep it going. I don't want that clip to ever fade away from memory.
No, no.
Especially when I'm eating my spaghetti.
That's right. Somebody touch on my spaghetti. I love it.
Yes. All right. Now we got to move on to this portion of the show where Mike lets you know what's coming up in movies, TV, and video games for this week. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Somebody touch my spaghetti!
Yeah, there you go.
The internet's a little laggy tonight.
A little bit.
I'm finding.
Just a smidge.
That would be my fault.
Sorry.
My internet. It sucks. But you know what doesn't suck, though, is this movie coming out this Friday. Marvel's latest blockbuster, Black Panther, drops this Friday.
This is getting all the hype.
It is getting all the hype in the world right now.
I mean, I'm at work. People are talking about it. My friends are talking about it.
You know, it was the one that I wasn't going to go see. But now I feel like I have to. If you're not familiar with it, Black Panther picks up after the events of Captain America: Civil War, as Black Panther returns home to Wakanda to take his rightful place as the king. However, an old rival challenges his claim and begins a conflict that endangers not only Wakanda, but the entire world. Reviews, as we both mentioned, have been absolutely glowing so far. Many of the top critics on Rotten Tomatoes are praising the heartfelt story, the character depth, and a real sense of meaningful high stakes in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They're saying that this movie makes the Marvel Cinematic Universe feel bigger and make it feel more important and like there's real stakes at risk here.
Do you think there's going to be a new... Isn't there supposed to be one more stone that hasn't been discovered yet?
Yes. And
do you think it'll be in this movie?
Well, if anybody's been paying attention to the Infinity War trailers, there's a lot of scenes from Wakanda.
Right.
So I'm thinking that this movie directly leads into what will be the events of Infinity War.
I think so, too.
So it makes it a must-see for Marvel fans. And so far, I don't think you'll be disappointed. The movie has an 80, I think it's 88 on Metacritic right now, with a whopping 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's doing absolutely spectacularly. It was flying under my radar, but not anymore. Go check out Black Panther in theaters this Friday. In television, if you want to stay in and maybe you're not a fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you want to check out this Netflix show, Everything Sucks, premieres on Netflix this Friday, February 16th. It is perfect for the current nostalgia-obsessed pop culture scene as it takes viewers into the world of several high school AV and drama nerds as it explores and parodies teen culture in the 90s. Rich, this seems like it's something right up our alley. There's a clip at the end of the trailer where everybody is grouped around a computer and they're watching a GIF load line by line line.
Those
and
days.
It's the 3D dancing baby GIF. And the one character goes, "Oh man, I love the net." It's just, it's that type of vibe.
Yes.
Following this group of, you know, nerdy outcasts that are trying to make a movie, but also deal with the drama that teens go through during high school. So if you grew up during the 90s, this is definitely one to check out. That's Everything Sucks, premiering on Netflix this Friday. If you want something a little bit more highbrow, not too highbrow though, You're going to want to check out the Emmy Award-winning variety talk show Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, which is returning to HBO this Sunday, February 18th. I'm super looking forward to the show. It's one of my favorites.
He has a way of just providing crazy and intricate storylines and information in an easy to digest manner.
Yeah, that's the thing I love the most is that he takes important and timely topics and makes these stories relatable and funny, but also make sure you get the information that you need. I've always said this. I think this is what separates him from a lot of these late night hosts is he does an excellent job of citing his sources. I know that's such a weird thing, former professor here, but he does an excellent job of citing sources and integrating those facts and information seamlessly into his presentation while still making it funny and easily digestible. He is a brilliant showman. You definitely got to go check out Last Week Tonight with John Oliver on HBO, well deserving of his Emmy. Finally, in video games, this is a smaller, more heartfelt game. I'm not sure how to pronounce it, is a new indie game coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and PC this week. In it, you control a small woodland-type creature who solves puzzles by communicating with the environment around it through song and musical sounds. This game is noted for its limited directions and prompts, meaning that the gameplay relies on gamers' intuition, experimentation, and connection with the game world in order to progress. Many who have played the game said that it has the potential to be a moving experience and one to keep on your radar. Not many reviews out right now, but it looks really interesting, something different out there. So if you're looking for a smaller, more intimate experience, go check out F-E on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that segment, This Week in Entertainment. Obviously we've been kind of dedicating all of our resources to football and the Super Bowl and Eagles and everything like that. During this whole hoopla and everything like that, two trailers fell by the wayside that we didn't get a chance to talk about last week because we were all Eagles, all Super Bowl. And that was the debut of the Star Wars Solo trailer and the Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom trailer. How about we take the Solo trailer out first? Because everyone's been asking me about this.
As the big Star Wars... we're both big Star Wars fan, but you are like the lore master over here from Star Wars.
This is new ground to try and do essentially an origin story for an already established character. And I think the problem from we're only going by trailers here, but it does seem like Alden Ehrenreich, I think his name is, the guy who's playing Solo, does not really seem like a Harrison Ford Han Solo kind of guy.
No, the first thing that jumped out to me in the trailer I don't know if it's because we're so used to the Han Solo type, but he doesn't seem as gruff as Han Solo. I don't know. There's just something off about him.
Right.
I can't really put my finger on it, but there's something. We just watched the trailer before the segment, and we both said that we don't like the Han Solo.
He doesn't seem to fit his shoes, but we'll see.
Maybe that's the point. He becomes the Han Solo we know because of the events of this movie.
Maybe. But unfortunately, this is a complaint that's being echoed all throughout internet reviewers. I even think I saw the USA Today headline was, "We like everything about the Solo trailer except for the guy playing Han Solo." Like, that was the actual headline sentence. And I don't know. We'll see how things pan out. But it is a little worrisome. However, on the flip side, I am digging Glover as Lando Calrissian.
Donald Glover, he's got the look.
He's got the look, and he's got the he's only in it for 2 seconds,
right?
But he's got the smile down,
right?
That cocky, I'm gonna steal your girl kind of smile. He's got that nailed down. And there's even a poster that came out where it's just Lando on it.
Okay.
And he pulls it off. He looks like Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah, they did a good job with that casting. So maybe he can save it. I always wanted to, I will admit, I don't want a Solo origin story, but I was always interested in the Lando Calrissian Han Solo dynamic in the original trilogy. So yeah. I would be kind of interested
if
to
they
see.
Focus more on that.
And you know what? Here's the thing with the trailer. It was, you don't want a trailer to reveal too much, but at the same time, it felt very generic.
Yeah, it almost at some points it didn't even seem like a Star Wars
and especially
movie.
This close to release. It's coming out in May, mid-May.
Here's something else too. There's no mention of like the Force or anything like that. Like,
well,
I mean, I know it's supposed to be a
Han Solo.
I know it's supposed to be.
He was always a Force denier.
Yeah, but at what, I don't know. It's going to be like, can you get away with a Star Wars movie that doesn't have anything to do with the Force? I don't know.
Yeah, because even Rogue One had the Force in it.
Yeah,
in a roundabout sort of way.
Right.
You know.
I don't know.
That's a good point. Is how far can you move away from the traditional Star Wars themes and still call it Star Wars?
Right. So
at what point does this just become?
Yeah, just a movie.
Just a
regular summer movie or whatever.
A regular summer blockbuster.
So there are some issues, and I think.
I will say this though, Emilia Clarke is also in this movie. I'm just learning.
Oh yeah, so. your babe from Game of Thrones, right?
You gotta love Emilia Clarke.
There you go.
Come on now.
There you go. That's why Mike's going.
I've just decided I have to go see the movie now.
Okay, very good.
Watch her be in like 2 seconds.
All right, and the second trailer is the one that Mike's a big fan of, Jurassic World: Fallen Kingdom. But yeah, I sense there's some. It's funny. I feel like we're in similar boats.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why we wanted to do this trailer talk, because these are both two movies that we should, you know, typically be looking forward to. And I think it's safe to say we're sort of both a little disappointed with the first showing of both of them.
Yeah.
Jurassic World: Fallen Kingdom. It looks so bad.
Yeah.
It looks like such a dumb action summer action blockbuster movie. I'm not saying that to sound all highbrow and you know, sophisticated and conceited, but it looks dumb. Like, it's just like there's a volcano exploding, and the number of explosions. Answer me this: how many explosions do you remember in the original Jurassic Park?
None.
There were absolutely none. It's not.
When did Michael Bay come into this?
Exactly. It's not that type of movie. The original Jurassic Park was so good because it had a sense of tension. It had that the dinosaurs weren't even in it for the first half. They were this mysterious force. You know, and even the character said, like, oh, where are the dinosaurs? Where are the dinosaurs? It had this slow build, this sort of don't reveal the monster until the right moment type
thing.
Yeah,
like Jaws.
Like Jaws and classic Steven Spielberg.
Right.
Did both of them. This Jurassic World trailer was like dinosaurs everywhere, explosions everywhere.
At one point I said Predator. It reminded me more of like a Predator sequel Jurassic World sequel.
It's heading in a more like fantastical direction, trending away from the sci-fi, and it just seems goofy to me. Like, I don't know why they're so obsessed with those stupid sphere vehicles, but there's like a whole scene where they're like racing the sphere through the dinosaurs as the volcano's exploding. And the plot of it is just dumb, too. It's like, oh, look at how many problems these dinosaurs have caused. Let's go save the dinosaurs. Like, Ian Malcolm, you know, said in the very first movie, your scientists were so busy thinking whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think whether they should. It was very clear that one of the themes was dinosaurs had their time. Okay? So this movie is flying in the face of all those themes that were previously established. I have a lot of problems with this trailer. I think it's going to be a terrible movie, and I'm absolutely going to go see it opening weekend.
Really?
I love Jurassic. I got to get me some dinosaurs on the big screen, Rich.
Okay.
Maybe not opening weekend.
So this might be a factor, me factoring everything. I'm not a big Jurassic World fan. I never really got into the whole dinosaur thing.
No, you were never into it.
The first one, but it's because the first one is more, I feel like, more like a horror thriller.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
It is a horror movie, which is
why I will happily rewatch the first one if it comes on TV or something. But after that, I never followed it.
Because after that, they took on a distinctly more action tone instead of horror and suspense and thriller. It was a sci-fi horror thriller. And these are not sci-fi, they're not thrillers, and they're not horror movies. They're just straight-up summer action blockbuster. And that's fine if that's what you're looking for. But it just looks dopey to me. Yeah. You should not have explosions and dinosaurs. It seems like a six-year-old wrote this script. And then the helicopter's going to explode, and the volcano's going to blow up, and the dinosaurs are running.
All in one scene.
Yeah, and it's like, all in one scene. You're absolutely right. This is my six-year-old wet dream of a movie script. Well, this is what six-year-old me would have wanted to see.
Did you ever send in a script when you were six? Maybe you did.
I don't know.
Maybe you ghost wrote this film.
Maybe. I'm going to watch the movie, and in the credits, written by Michael Costanza. What?
When did that happen?
this is what a six-year-old would want to see. You know, and it's not a criticism at six-year-olds, but it's not Jurassic Park.
Yeah. So anyway, my whole point of what I was saying is I don't.
You don't care either way.
This downgrades it to like I don't care if I see it open it in the theaters. I'll wait to HBO, DVD, Netflix, whatever it comes out on.
Yeah, it's a shame they brought this series back just to kill my childhood. They really did.
Hey, welcome to that. Hey,
they're like, look. Well, you've already gone through that.
Yeah.
With Star Wars prequel trilogy.
Right.
You're like, why are they doing this to me?
Welcome to the boat, buddy.
Maybe they'll get another trilogy that will redeem it.
Maybe. Like
20 years from now. But, you know, I said that I'm probably going to end up going to see Jurassic World, despite my better judgment. Rich, are you going to go see... It's a stupid question, but I got to ask it anyway. Are you going to go see Han Solo?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. But my expectations aren't high.
Yeah. Is it going to be an opening day, opening weekend thing for you?
Probably still, because...
It is Star Wars.
It is technically Star Wars, so...
Yeah.
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, I'll see both in theaters, but, you know, I'm not... The bar is set kind of low.
Right. And that's the thing that sucks, is usually trailers are supposed to hype you up. And I feel like these two are just, like, disclaimers.
These movies are coming out on either side of Infinity War. I think Infinity War is before both. The point I'm making is that both these movies are setting themselves up for failure.
All right. Well,
at least critically. Commercially, they'll do very well. But this summer belongs to Infinity War.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's the one everyone's going to go see. So best of luck to Solo and Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Good luck. But now we're going to get into a unique part of the show, something that we haven't done in a while. It's time for a quick side dish. Yep, side dish time. It's been a while since we've done a side dish.
Yeah, I can't even remember the last time.
Yeah. So pretty much the side dish is just a random segment that we want to throw in. Doesn't really fit with Sports Sampler, Entertainment Entree, or the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News, but it's something that one of us brings to the table and we want to discuss with. And for this edition of the side dish, we decided to bring in our associate producer, Mike's brother, John Bruno. How you doing, JB? Woo!
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
Yes. I decided to make this a little bit of a competition. So this went viral in the past week. Somebody put together one of your favorite shows, JB, right? Is SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yes, it is. Classic.
Yes, of course. How could it not be?
It's my
so
childhood.
Good. Yes.
Yeah.
So this clip went viral on YouTube where they took a clip from SpongeBob, and obviously he's got the high pitched voice and everything like that. And they found all of the dubs for all the world and put it all together, the same line. And then in different languages. And the one that made me laugh the most is the one where SpongeBob sings where he's on the beach. Do you remember this one, Bruno?
Which one?
He's singing on the beach.
Yeah.
Stepping on the Beach is what it's called.
Stepping on the Beach. That one?
Yeah, this one.
Stepping on the Beach. Doo, 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 doo. Stepping on the Beach. Doo, 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 doo. Stepping on the Beach. Doo, 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 doo.
So that has been put into 16 different languages.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And I figured we could make a quick little game out of this. I'm going to play the different clips of SpongeBob singing the famous song Steppin' on the Beach in different languages, and you guys are going to have to try and guess which is the correct language. Now, to try and make this a little bit more interesting, the guys will have to pick out a piece of paper that has all the languages on them. So we got, you know, Greek, Russian, German, Swedish. They're all written down on pieces of paper, and there's only one of each. So right. You got to be fast, too. If you really, if you know what it is, you got to grab it really fast.
All right, hold on. Let me reposition because I can't really see.
I know. All of a sudden, I'm like worrying about the equipment.
Okay. And I figure, it could be a quick little fun game here. So Mike versus John Bruno, how well can they determine SpongeBob singing in different languages? You guys ready to play?
Sure.
Okay, so this is, of course,
get off.
Stepping on the Beach. They're already fighting. I love this. They're already fighting. All right, here is the very first clip. Let's play it.
Am Strand, du, 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 du. Ich geh am Strand, du, du, du. Ich geh am Strand, du, 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 du.
So,
I'm definitely. I'm definitely almost wrong. I mean,
do you want to hear it again? Because apparently Mike already made his choice.
Yeah.
Why'd you switch?
Yeah.
Because I think this is it.
I'm sticking to Valverdean.
Valverdean.
That's Valverdean. Definitely wrong.
Right. What do they speak in Valverdea?
I've never even heard of this country.
I think that's made up. I think that's a Star Wars language or something.
No, I just want to know what you think, Val. Because I'm really surprised if you got this right. I don't even know where Valverdea is.
I have no clue. I just picked it because I like the sound of it.
How do they speak in Valverdea?
I'm very ignorant when it comes to countries.
do you have any idea of how they speak Valverdean?
Like they just spoke there?
Yeah. I want to know your imitation of a Valverdean language.
I'm Valverdean.
So basically Italian.
That's
the only accent I can do. So it's going to have to work.
Okay. So you guys are locked in with your answers?
Yes.
Okay. Bruno, I have to confess something here.
It's a fake language, isn't it?
It's a fake country that is used in Die Hard 2. That's where the
yes!
General, that's where the general comes from in Die Hard 2.
So
they say,
wrong.
They say he's the general. Yeah, oh, yeah. That's not even a real
thing. How many of these are also fake, Rich?
I don't know. You have to go keep finding
this
out.
This is fake.
These two are definitely fake.
Those are fake.
Anyway.
And what did you pick, Mike?
I picked German because I heard the word ick. And I know that that is a...
Can I re-pick because I definitely know what it is.
I'm probably wrong, but I thought I heard the word ick, like ick, Ichenstein.
Well, guess what? Mike's right. He got the first one right. The first one German. Yep, he got the first one right.
All right.
So Mike,
put that in like a separate pile.
It's in a separate pile.
Mike is up 1-0 here in the great SpongeBob language challenge.
God.
I think that's what we're going to call it.
It's going to be included in the Olympics in 4 years.
Yes.
Valverdean.
Verdeen, yep.
Valverdeen.
Alright. Here is the next clip. You guys ready?
Yes.
That sounds like he's actually doing like a chicken dance in the middle of that. Yes, so... Wow, they are confused as hell as for this
know.
One.
I don't know.
Did I stump them on this one?
Yes, you did.
I was stumping the first one.
Okay, are you guys settled?
Yeah. I think it's interesting. We both chose like a similar port, like region of the world.
I know this is real.
Okay. Bruno picked Arabic. Why Arabic?
Rich, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Maybe.
At least you're
honest.
It could
be that.
I'm glad you're honest.
I have no idea.
And Mike, why did you pick Turkish?
It didn't sound like a romance language that takes out Greek, Italian, Spanish, French, Portuguese. So I went with something in the Middle East region.
Wow. I like how Mike is actually trying to use
logic. There was like some thought here. A tiny bit.
If it doesn't sound like something I know, I just guess what
Arabic?
I have no idea what it sounds like. Okay. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, you guys are both wrong. This one was Chinese. Yeah.
It's false.
Wow.
Yep. So Mike is still up 1-0.
That was tough. I don't know why. It didn't sound like Chinese to me. Not that I know what Chinese sounds like.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Are you ready for the next one here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. And clip number 3, please.
Camino sulla sabbia, tutto, camino sulla sabbia, tutto, camino sulla sabbia, tutto.
And he
can you play the game? Let me pick first, though. You're already winning.
Okay. Fine. I'll be a good older brother. I will let him pick first.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm only slow.
Okay. Here it is. Camino sulla sabbia, tutto, camino sulla sabbia, tutto,
camino sulla sabbia, tutto. Are you gonna pick? Because I want to pick one. Camino sulla sabbia, tutto, camino sulla sabbia,
tutto, camino sulla sabbia, tutto. I have no clue.
Do you have any idea to begin what you're thinking process? Can you decipher anything that's being said in the clip? Camino sulla sabbia, tutto, camino sulla sabbia,
tutto, camino sulla sabbia, tutto. Do, do, do. That is all I got. Listen, I failed Fun with Phonics. It's definitely not that. I can tell you that right now.
Well, okay, go ahead. You pick then.
Watch me pick like one of the fake languages.
Go ahead.
I'm like,
pick one of the fake languages. Because I know those.
One more time, Rich. Hit it one more time.
One more? Okay, here it is. One more time. Camino sulla sabbia, tutto,
camino sulla sabbia, tutto, camino sulla sabbia, tutto. Camino sulla sabbia.
Come on, JB. Can we get like a timer here or something?
All right. I don't know. I'm going with this.
Okay. All right, Mike, what did you pick?
I picked Japanese because it for a second there, it reminded me of JB's Japanese anime shows a tiny bit. Kamarimisuda, or whatever you said.
Yeah, like that weird like singing pop kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right. So Mike goes with Japanese. What did you go with, Bruno, after your deliberations?
I went with Greek. I'm regretting it, but...
Watch it actually be Greek. No.
No, but Bruno is actually closer.
Closer than
me. And Mike, I'm a little bit... I think your mom's going to be upset at you.
No.
That's Italian?
Yes.
No.
Yep.
No, the Italian word for beach is spiaggia, and I didn't hear spiaggia in there anywhere.
Well, I don't know. This is what I got.
That's Italian?
Yeah, according to what I have here.
Man, I don't. You took Italian, Rich.
Camino sulla sabbia.
Wait, technically this is still in there.
Yeah, that's right.
This is still in there.
Right.
Oh, man, we'd been eliminating these.
Yeah. No, don't eliminate them. Yeah, they can still come up later.
Oh, my God. So this stupid. Wait, hold on. So
Greek is still in there. Italian's not in there.
They're all still in there.
They're all still in there. Except for
when is Val Verdean going to be in there?
At the end.
Damn it.
Oh, man, this is pathetic, JB. All right, what do you got next?
So Mike is still leading 1-0.
Wait, when you were thinking of this game, did you honestly think we would get any of these?
Yeah. I
think Hey,
you were so confident. You were so confident we were going to get these that you made up 3 fake languages to put them in there.
I know that those other two are fake languages.
I thought one of you would go for one of the fake ones, yeah.
Well, you were right.
Yes, I was. Thank you. Thank you, Bruno.
I'm so upset it was me. All right, go on.
All right, let's get to another one. Mike is still up 1-0.
Let me guess first.
Okay, all right.
Okay, yeah.
Do it faster than 15 minutes, though.
The pressure gets to me.
Let's try and get Bruno on the board here. All right. Here's the next clip. Clip number 4.
Yeah.
Another one?
I think I heard Jamel. So frustrating.
All right, come on. We got to put a timer on this or something.
I mean, I'm just guessing. I'm just... Turkish.
All right, I'm going Hebrew.
Going Hebrew?
It's definitely not. There wasn't enough... There wasn't enough throat in there.
You guys locked in? Is this what you're going with?
Yes.
All right, so Mike, why Hebrew?
I have no idea. It's just that I was leaning towards Hebrew or Turkish. JB took Turkish, so I took Hebrew.
Ha, in your face.
All right, Bruno, why Turkish?
Because it sounds like somebody Turkish would say something like that. You can edit it out.
Good reasoning. Good reasoning.
I have no reason. Am I right?
Actually, no, you guys are both wrong. That was that was French. Yeah, now you can hear it in
as
the beginning.
As soon as you say it, I can hear it.
Yeah, you can hear it.
I still don't hear it.
You know what it is? It's the sing-songy nature that's really
throwing you off.
Throwing it off, yeah, because it's like such a like different way of speaking these languages, like you would hear if people were talking.
That, and it's kind of like a slang, because he's saying, like, stepping
yeah,
on
I'm
the beach.
Yeah, I'm stepping on the beach, yeah.
It's not like stepping.
Maybe that's
it's
why
not
you didn't
like,
hear your Italian word that you were looking out for.
Spiaggia, yeah.
I think that means shore, not beach.
Ooh.
I'm pretty sure it's,
if I'm right, I automatically win this game.
Well, yeah, where's the South Philly Italians? We need them.
All right, ready? Is my computer plugged in? Hit my thing.
Well, okay.
This is Italian for beach.
Spiaggia.
All right.
I didn't hear
what's
that
Italian
anywhere
for sure.
What's Italian for sure?
Hold yeah.
On. Maybe.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely not this one. Ready?
Puntellare.
No.
I don't know.
See what I mean?
I don't know.
I'm going to keep Google Translate up just in case.
Okay. Well, I'm going by what my sources say here.
Okay.
Your sources are right, Rich.
And we got clip number 5 here for you. So, Bruno, you can still catch up. It's 1-0.
Yeah.
So, here we go.
Swedish.
Going, you seem pretty confident in that one.
Swedish.
One more time.
Shouldn't Chinese be out of the list, though? We already did Chinese.
Did they already do that?
Yeah, didn't we?
I think we did.
I don't know. Oh, and French was out.
And French is out, too.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Once and again, the clip.
Swedish, because it's Swedish.
All right, Bruno's going Swedish there.
All of a sudden, everything is sounding Japanese to me. I don't know why.
Mike is going with Japanese
It's totally wrong, though.
Yes, you guys are both wrong.
Oh,
that,
my God.
That was Russian.
Oh,
it actually kind of sounds
like a
marsh.
It doesn't sound Russian.
A little, no,
when I think Russian, I think
you know what it is, though? Know why you can't tell it's Russian?
I'm thinking of stereotypes.
Yes, you are. That, and his voice is so high-pitched, it wouldn't sound like your stereotypical,
yeah,
like...
Oh, yeah.
I think Russian, I think like this, you know?
What, well, you think SpongeBob talks like that?
You realize, stepping on the beach, you know?
You realize you're not speaking Russian, you're just speaking English.
You realize that I can't actually speak Russian, so that's as close as we're going to get.
Which is probably why it doesn't sound like Russian.
I am disappointed. I thought you knew how to speak Russian all this
time. I know.
Yeah, so that was
I'm
Russian.
I'm just going to keep picking Japanese until I get it.
Rich, at the end, we should play these back one more time and see if we can get them right.
Fair enough.
Just real quick. See if we actually remember what they sound like. I think I'll do better.
All right. All right, load up clip number 6 here. And if clip number 6 is freezing on me.
Fantastic.
Read
here
it.
We go.
A la shanti, do-do-do-do, a la shanti, do-do-do-do, a la shanti, do-do-do-do. It sounds like he's saying "ala shari, shari, shari." That's definitely wrong. I'm gonna go with "ala shari, doo doo doo, ala shari, doo
doo doo, ala shari, doo doo doo."
Ala.
Okay, you're going with Spanish.
That's not a Spanish word.
Ala. I don't know the something. Look, this is all I got. I don't got much.
All right, Bruno's going with Spanish.
I'm surprised you didn't say Japanese again.
You know, it probably is going to be Japanese.
It's non-Japanese.
I'm going Hebrew.
And Mike's going Hebrew. The answer, Arabic.
I was so close. A la shanti, do-do-do-do, a la shanti,
do-do-do-do, a la shanti, do-do-do-do. Yeah, that
I was hovering
Arabic.
Between Hebrew and Arabic. Like, I knew it was, like, sort of...
Michael, well, you don't know anything. You're just guessing just like everybody else would.
What did you pick?
I picked... What did I pick? I don't even remember.
But did you pick Swedish?
I picked Spanish.
Yeah, you picked Spanish.
I was in the right
they
region.
They all sound the same.
All right. And clip number 7, I think we're on. Here we go. Another one of Steppin' on the Beach, the great SpongeBob language trivia extravaganza. All right, what do you got there?
Greek.
Greek. You seem really confident. Why Greek?
Rich, it's the same answer. I have no idea. just tell me if I'm right or wrong.
I remember hearing those types of sounds when we did our longest words segment.
No, you
in Swedish.
Don't remember that.
No, I feel like I did. I feel like I did.
Rich, prove him wrong.
All right. Yeah, you guys are both wrong.
Damn
that
it.
One was...
Come on!
That one was Hebrew.
I went like this.
Yeah, you should have went with your first gut.
Oh
there.
My god, this is pathetic.
That one was Hebrew.
Rich, are these fake? We need help.
Well, are these fake?
Are these both fake?
Well, you might have. You know, if you think they are, don't choose them. If you think they're not, then pick them.
Oh my Put god. Them back in the line.
I got two more left. let's do. We're gonna do.
Oh my god.
Let's see.
This is pathetic.
Yeah, Mike is the only one with points on the board.
I'm just gonna take Japanese before the clip.
You know that's the only one I'm going to get. You put that back.
All right, here
Watch,
you go.
Watch, I'm going to get that one.
The next one.
Fausti Baralia. Fausti Baralia. Fausti Baralia.
So racist for picking that.
I like that one. That one's like kind of a sing. That one's more
now sing-song. Now I don't want to say it.
Fausti Baralia. Fausti Baralia. Fausti Baralia.
I like that. That should be a song.
Portuguese.
Basti Balalia. Basti Balalia. I like that. It should be a song.
Portuguese.
All right, you're going Portuguese.
Turkish.
Turkish.
You racist.
Those are your final answers.
Yeah, are we both wrong?
They're
again?
Both wrong. It's Greek.
Oh, come on!
Basti Balalia. Basti Balalia. Basti Balalia.
Yeah, that's Greek.
Yeah, that was Greek.
Oh, man. This is pathetic.
You know what else makes it really hard? I can't, like, understand, like, I can't even, I can't pick
out like,
one
individual
word.
Words,
I can't
yeah.
pick out one word at all.
It's because of the sing-song. That's what makes it tough, is the sing-song melody of it.
All right, let's go. No, I'm telling you, I'm going to get that one right. You leave that right there.
All right, another clip here. Here we go.
Caminhando na praia, tu, 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 tu. Caminhando na praia, tu, 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 tu. Caminhando na praia, tu, tu, tu.
Ooh, this one seems to stump everybody here.
Caminhando na praia, tu, 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 tu. Caminhando na praia, tu, 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 tu. Caminhando na praia, prum, prum, prum.
He rolls the R's, so it's going to be either, it's going to be one of these two, because the R
roll.
Oh,
interesting. You guys
I
picked
think,
that one
I
up.
Think Camina is walk in Italian, and Spanish and Italian are very close. So Camina would be like a stepping slang, so I'm going to go with Spanish.
Okay, the correct answer is... Portuguese!
Bro. Oh! This feels so good! Tied it up.
I was close. I was really close. He picked
Portuguese. Caminhando na praia, tu, 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 tu. Caminhando na praia, tu, 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 tu. Caminhando na praia, prum, prum, prum.
What was your reasoning for Portuguese?
I told you. They rolled the R's.
Yeah,
so I knew
you rolled the R's.
I said I knew it was either Spanish or Portuguese, and I picked Portuguese.
Yeah, but I picked out the Camina. That was... Somebody give me some props.
That was wrong.
It's probably the same in Portuguese, though.
Oh, why?
Because all the Romance languages are similar and have same roots in Latin, dude. All
right.
Whatever.
All right. We're
Whatever.
Getting, we're getting to the end. It is now a tie ball game. There's six options
you
left.
Put that... Listen.
They're all... Stop. They're fighting. This. So this.
Because that's how you're... That's how somebody's going to end up winning. They're just going to hold on to one. Here, well, hold on to this one.
Fine. Well, I'm going to hang on to Rich's fake language.
Well... All right, so we're at sudden death. One of these guys have to get this right to win the overall game here on the Great SpongeBob Translation.
This ends in a tie. I'm not recording the rest of the podcast.
Right, this can't end in a tie. Somebody has to win. So here it is, clip number, I believe, 9. Take it away. All right. You guys...
Turkish, because...
JP's going to win this.
I'm hungry, and I could go for some turkey.
Okay.
Swedish, because I don't know anything.
What was the fake language you pulled up?
Oh, come on. Don't you tell me it's Nambutes.
Yeah, you never heard of that one before?
Yes.
Rich, if that's the right answer, I'm
No, it's not.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
No, he's trying to get me to double-guess myself.
Yeah. No. Nambutu is the...
Yeah,
the,
that's a fake language.
It's the fake desert in Casino Royale, I think, if I remember correctly. That's what I chose.
What's this one? What's Zamundian?
It's from Zamunda, which is the country that the prince is from in Eddie Murphy's Coming to America.
Both fake. We guessed out the two fake ones, though, JD. Two of the three.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, one of you still picked the fake one. Jeez. Anyway.
He should lose points for that.
No.
Well, guess what?
I'm right.
Did he win?
One more time. This was the clip. Guess what? Bruno pulls it out!
God damn it!
Oh, my God! I just want to thank my mom and my dad. I want to thank you guys for having me on the show. I want to thank all those people that believed in me because I was once an underdog. So I want to thank Jason Kelce for believing in me, even though it wasn't in his speech. Thank you, Jason Kelce.
The comeback of the century.
Comeback kid.
Mike was up 1-0 for the majority of this, and then all of a sudden, Bruno came roaring back with his extensive knowledge of languages.
I got the first one. I was like, yeah, I'm going to be able to do this.
These three aren't in there?
No. I didn't pick them.
Yeah. Because every time I went for Japanese, he probably picked a different one.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to play Japanese this turn. Oh, Mike grabbed Japanese? Nope.
Nope. Yeah, chose something else. So there you go. You got it. Bruno did it.
Can I hear the Japanese one just to see if I would have gotten it?
Yeah, I need to hear this Japanese one because we've been waiting for that the entire time.
You guys are upset you guys never got the Japanese one. All right, well, just to quench your thirst here, this is the Japanese one.
I wouldn't have gotten that.
I would have guessed Swedish again. Everything sounds Swedish to me. Swedish and Japanese, I don't know. They're two very similar languages, of course.
I think you've been listening to too much Gary Busey.
I'm going to Disneyland, Disneyland, Disneyland. Come and go to Disneyland, all you people living in Sweden.
It's sad because I put real thought behind these. Like, what does that say about my ability, my world knowledge here?
Well, you know what?
That's bad.
At least you didn't pick the fake language.
Yeah.
But Bruno came back.
He did. He
rallied. He rallied from the fake language pick, and he totally redeemed himself.
And let's be real. You thought that those three were real languages, too.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
For what country has a dash in it? What language has a dash in it? There are languages written in symbols. There's no language that has a dash in it. Rich could have put like a backslash in there and you would have guessed it.
Hey, that is a fine country, Valverde, all right? They are fine, loving people. They just happen to pick the wrong dictators, okay?
It's all in the choice of dictators, man.
Yeah, all right? They are fine people. But there you go. That was the great SpongeBob translation extravaganza. Thank you guys for playing. Bruno, thank you for coming onto the podcast to play this silly game.
Thank you for having me. Michael, it was a pleasure playing you. This is the handshake going on behind the scene, behind the microphone.
Behind the microphone.
It's the story behind the mic.
Bruno wins in a comeback.
Woo!
Thank you for stopping by. All right. I think that's enough translating, enough language deciphering, and SpongeBob listening here in the side dish. So I think we're going to take a break. But don't go anywhere, because up next, we got the non-fortune cookie odd news coming your way. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunchy.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2. Boogie, boogie, boogie,
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler. We are done the entertainment entree. And if you're a little hungry, we had a side dish for you there. How did you like all those SpongeBob clips?
That was actually a lot of fun. I told you, I always like it when we do things with different languages.
Yeah,
so
I thought
that
you
was
would
a lot
like
of fun.
It.
You know what, though? I really sucked at that game. I was terrible. And what made it even worse is that I was legitimately trying. I was, like, analyzing, like, oh, this is a romance language. You know?
Yeah, you did.
All
you had
pompous and
yeah,
uppity.
Yeah, you had, like, academic reasonings.
And this just goes to show you that I don't know a damn thing. But, I mean, if you've been listening to this show religiously, you already know that. So, I'm talking to good friends.
Yes.
Listeners.
We are your friends.
Yes.
And we, as good friends do, say stupid stuff.
All the time.
Which, by the way, leads us into something I want to mention. Because one of the advantages of doing the podcast when it's not a live show is we can, like, pull clips immediately from what we just recorded.
Right.
So We were playing the game, and I found this clip just that Bruno randomly screamed when he found out he won. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
Ooh, this feels so good.
I don't even know if he knows we pulled that.
Oh my God. I don't even
know if he knows he even said that.
Ooh, this feels so good.
Oh. And now that everybody's eardrums are bleeding.
Ooh, it feels so good.
I love that clip because he sounds like the fire siren here in Ambler. Because the fire siren's like this. He does. It's that same like crescendo.
Ooh, this feels so good.
Sounds like a fire siren. It's great. I love it.
Well, call Ambler Fire Department if they need a replacement.
Yeah, hook that up to the speaker system.
I got a clip for him.
Ooh, this feels so good.
One of his rare outbursts of like. Because he's always very mellow and like even keel and just,
but he led the comeback of a century.
He did, and you know his emotion showed. It's great.
Ooh, this feels so good.
So there we go. The latest entry into the soundboard.
It's a good entry. Now.
Yeah, I like it. But now it's time to move into the next entry of this week's show. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for hell of a ride.
News.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. And for those of you unfamiliar with this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories, keeps them hidden from me so that I've never seen them before. That ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready set forth on an epic journey of odd news. Let's do it.
Okay,
What's the first stop on the tour?
Let's do Alabama.
Alabama.
Alabama, why not?
All right, good old Alabama.
Yep.
They're hanging on in there.
Yep. We got a couple of food stories, actually. So
okay.
Interesting here.
Are people touching spaghettis, or what's going on in these food stories?
Well, this one has to do with cereal.
Okay, cereal.
I
like cereal.
Yeah, you like cereal?
Yeah. What's your favorite? Reese's Puffs.
Reese's Puffs cereal, okay.
And on the opposite end of the spectrum, Grape Nuts.
Wow. That's interesting.
And the oatmeal squares, yeah. Okay. What about you? What's your favorite cereal?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Ooh, that's a goodie.
Yeah.
Anything on the healthy side of the spectrum?
No.
all right, perfect. No.
Yeah, because at that point, just eat oatmeal or something.
What about Cheerios? I was always a classic Cheerios type person, too.
You know what? Yeah.
I can only eat them like a half a cup at a time because I don't like it when they get soggy.
They are healthy for you, aren't they?
They are. They're good.
I do like Cheerios.
Yeah, Cheerios are good.
Okay. Anyway.
Anyway.
In this story, we got Captain Crunch cereal.
Okay. That's a good one.
An Alabama man allegedly beat up his roommate after he discovered that the victim had failed to properly seal his box of Captain Crunch cereal, which led it to go stale.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Oh, now you f***ed
You have fucked up now.
Come on, man. That's that's messed up. You can't just beat a man just because he forgot to seal a box or improperly sealed it. What is it, a couple bucks?
Well,
get over it. Pour some milk on it. You can't. It's fine. How stale was it? Like, that's what I... Is this, like, weeks old, or is this, like, the next day? And he's like, oh, it's a 1% difference.
52-year-old Dwayne Barry Smith. Oh. Yeah.
You said roommate. I was picturing, like, a college-age student.
Right.
This
yeah.
This is an not an elderly, but a middle-aged man.
Yeah.
An older man.
52-year-old Dwayne Barry Smith was arrested last Friday for a domestic violence charge following the confrontation with the man he shares a residence with in Moundville. Which
you say Moundville?
Moundville, which is an
like
actual,
a ville built on a mound.
It is an actual name of a town in Alabama.
God.
We're going down to Moundville, Alabama.
You know you're in Alabama when the town is called Moundville.
Yeah. According to police, the victim said that Smith became upset after he discovered that his Captain Crunch cereal was not fresh and had become stale. How dare you? It's not fresh.
It's just heartbreaking.
Smith was especially upset because he has missing teeth and has difficulty consuming stale cereals.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up.
Can I just...
Yeah, where to begin?
Okay. So maybe... The fact that you're that excited about Captain Crunch is probably the reason why you don't have any teeth. All you eat is sugary cereal.
All the time.
So it's hard for him to eat stale cereal.
Yes.
That's what he's claiming.
Yes.
Isn't crunchy cereal also hard to eat?
Right. Shouldn't it be in the same boat?
Aren't you like... in order to gum this stuff...
I gotta gum it.
Don't you have to put enough milk that it gets real soggy? So what's the difference?
Well, I'll just let it soak in the milk for a good 40, 45 minutes.
Oh, my God. That's a long time.
Then I just put it in my mouth and just gum it
You're
down.
You're going to make me vomit.
It's so good.
I can't.
I love that captain.
Stop.
I've been with the captain since I was in the Navy 40 years ago.
He thinks it's an actual captain.
Yes.
Oh, captain, my captain. Okay. I'm going to eat you.
Oh, captain, my captain. Yes.
You're so peanut buttery. Robin Williams is like, what?
Oh, yes. It's the actual, the secret ending to Dead Poets Society.
Yeah, that's the blooper reel.
Oh, Captain, my crunch. Oh, Captain Crunch. My poor Captain Crunch has become stale. It was once fresh, but now it has been tarnished. Oh, Captain Crunch, my Captain Crunch.
Oh, Captain Crunch, my Captain Crunch. That was the sequel they had planned,
yes.
Actually. I also just want to point out real quick, because I did look up Moundville,
yes.
As I do. There's an archaeological park there.
So what, this is the next
Jurassic
Park movie?
Well, I don't know if it's a Jurassic Park movie, but like it's actually known for something. Usually when I look up these backwater towns, they're not known for anything. This place has 26 prehistoric Mississippian culture era Native American earthwork mounds, burial sites, and artifacts. Maybe that's why it's called Moundville.
Mm. Did you say Mississippi, though? And this is Alabama.
Well, right. So it's Moundville, Alabama, but I guess Mississippian culture was like...
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway.
I don't know. It struck me as interesting. Obviously, you're not as interested as I was, but I thought it was interesting.
Let's get back to Captain Crunch.
Okay. I'm talking about archaeological sites. And you're like, look, I got cereal to talk about.
Yeah, all right.
Fair enough. This is the odd news.
At one point, Smith then demanded that his roommate also try to gum the Captain Crunch so that he could see how hard it is.
What? This story's getting real awkward.
Yeah.
Gum my Captain Crunch. And the roommate's like, no, I don't think I will.
When the man
gum it,
boy. When the man refused, Smith then grabbed an electrical cord and smashed him on the head with it.
Wow, man, that's violent.
I love how we chose an electrical cord.
There's nothing else to grab.
Yeah, that was it.
When you say an electrical cord, like the plug to something?
Yeah, and just bam, right over the face.
I hope it was like a small plug, not one of those big like DC plugs.
Smith's roommate suffered injuries to his face and his arm. He was taken to the local hospital for treatment while Smith was arrested.
Man, so. I tell you, cereal ain't going to get any easier in prison.
No, it's not. You're not going to get Captain Crunch.
No, sir.
You're not going to get fresh Captain Crunch.
Exactly.
It's going to be stale. It's probably going to come from somebody's butt.
If what? Why does it come from someone's butt?
Because they gotta sneak it in.
You have to sneak in cereal to prison?
Yeah.
They don't give you any cereal?
No, no cereal for you. Especially if you're known for your crime was caused by cereal. Yeah, no cereal
gotta
for
smuggle
you.
In that cereal.
Yeah.
That contraband cereal.
Right.
Here's my thing. If you know that cereal is tough, why don't you make yourself something that's like softer, like eggs?
No, he likes his Captain Crunch. He served with the captain.
What about oatmeal?
All right. No, it's not Captain
he
Oatmeal.
He served with the captain.
He served with Captain Crunch.
Okay.
All right.
If your name is Crunch, I feel like you are legally obligated to become a captain.
Yes.
Just so you can say, I'm Captain Crunch.
Yes.
Am I right?
I think you have to.
I think you have to. I think
by
it's
law.
I think it's in the laws. Yes. It's in the Constitution, man.
Article 5.
Article 5.
Section 8.
There you go. You heard it here first. Rich, our constitutional lawyer.
Right there.
Article 5, Section 8.
Yeah.
If your name is Crunch, you have to become a captain.
Yep. Sorry. Those are the rules.
That I just made up.
All right. Let's go to Florida in our next story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And we're keeping up with the food theme. We're going with Cuban sandwiches in this next one.
Okay.
Very specific. Cuban
sandwiches. Cuban sandwiches. That's like, what does a Cuban sandwich have in it?
It's grilled.
I'm looking up right now. It's a ham and cheese sandwich that originated in cafes catering to Cuban workers in Key West. Okay. But that didn't tell me what's in it. God. Google.
All right, well, I don't think you're going to need that much because this involves a 7-Eleven Cuban sandwich.
Ooh, yeah.
Probably doesn't have that much in it.
Probably not the same thing.
A 7-Eleven worker was struck in the face with a Cuban sandwich thrown by an angry customer who had complained that the food item was, quote, not sufficiently warm. How dare they?
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
I mean, you're getting it from a 7-Eleven. Do you expect, like, fine dining cuisine over here?
Yeah.
You're lucky it was warm at all.
You're
like,
lucky
any
it was
sort
cooked.
Of warm. You're lucky it was cooked, yeah.
19-year-old Corinthian Jones.
That's not a real name.
Yeah, that's her name.
Corinthian?
Yes.
Like the Bible.
Yes. 1 Corinthian, 2 Corinthian, 19 Corinthian. Yes.
Okay.
19-year-old Corinthian Jones purchased the sandwich at the 7-Eleven in Bradenton, Florida. Jones got the sandwich to go, according to the Manatee County Sheriff's Office. Jones then took a couple of bites and discovered that it was cold. So Jones marched back into the 7-Eleven and asked the clerk, Victoria Vasquez, to reheat the Cuban sandwich immediately or demanded her money back.
I mean, that's a fair request. They should heat it up for her.
Jones later asked Vasquez to again reheat the sandwich a second time.
Okay, that's pushing it.
Yep. When the 7-Eleven employee refused the second time, Jones then threw the sandwich in the victim's face.
That's messed up. Don't throw the food at. Come on, man.
Right. And you already bought it, too. Like, what's it going to do at that point?
How warm? Like, I want to know just how cold it was. Was it, like, fridge cold? Was it room temperature?
It was probably room temperature. And
it's 7-Eleven. You have to set the bar at a certain standard. You can't go in expecting filet mignon.
Yes.
You know?
I want beef Wellington.
Exactly. You have to keep your expectations in check.
I want that proud 7-Eleven beef Wellington delivered to my table immediately.
Of course, your table at 7-Eleven.
Yes, right.
You had to make a reservation. It's in very high demand.
Yes, excellent.
You can't go in there and get like a $5 pizza. And expected to be like New York pizza, you know? It's just not going to happen.
During police questioning, Jones copped to tossing the sandwich at her, but then claimed that, quote, I thought she just caught the sandwich.
Does that make it better?
Here you go. Catch.
I thought that she just caught the sandwich.
Yeah. I didn't mean to cause an injury. I don't know what
you're
talking about.
But you still threw something at an employee. Like, that's messed up. Yeah. You shouldn't just throw stuff at people.
Yeah.
Like, replace sandwich with, like, a knife or a gun. Like, oh, I just shot at him. I didn't think it hit any vital organs. Like, it doesn't work that way.
Vasquez said that she did not sustain any injuries.
Well, that's good. It would have been really heartbreaking if that Cuban sandwich had, like, broken bones or something.
Jones was charged with a misdemeanor battery and was booked into the county jail. She was released after posting a $120 bond. So,
these small crimes.
Yep.
It's so silly and it's so unnecessary.
Yep. All right, let's go to another. We're moving away from food, but we're keeping up the Florida theme.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right, let's do. We're gonna do this story here. Oh, it's been a while since we have a good one of these stories here.
Okay,
a Miami man was arrested after he stole bees and beehives from a property over the course of several days.
Bees! Bees in the car! Bees everywhere! God, they're huge! They're ripping my flesh off!
Son, roll around! Do you hear me? Roll around on the ground!
Forget that! I'm starting to swell up!
Save yourself! Don't be the hero!
Frank, I'm allergic to bees. Me too.
They're huge and they sting crazy.
We'll come back later and check on you.
Yeah, in a while. Save yourself.
Your firearms are useless against them.
I love that. It's been a while since we played it.
It has been a while.
I love that.
Oh, it's so
your
good.
Firearms your are useless against them.
that and the roll around on the ground.
Yeah, that'll help.
They're tearing my flesh off. What type of bees are these?
In this story, 54-year-old Yoel Torres faces charges of second-degree grand theft, trespassing, and criminal mischief over the beehives. According to the police report, Torres was spotted on surveillance video climbing through a barbed wire fence and stealing beehives from the property of beekeeper Waynesworth Brown.
That's a name.
Yeah.
Waynesworth
Brown.
Is that all one name, Waynesworth?
Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
Police said that the video showed Torres entering the property on several occasions, putting on his own bee suit.
He really came prepared.
And removing the beehive boxes and placing them one at a time in the bed of his truck.
Oh, my God. I like how he is simultaneously incredibly prepared and not at all prepared.
Yes.
Because he has a beekeeper outfit, which is like, not many people have those.
Right.
But then he just takes a box and sticks it in the flatbed of his truck.
Yeah, just like, throws it right on the dump truck.
I was half expecting you to say, and then he put it in the backseat of his car. You know?
According to the report, Torres admitted that he took the bees, telling police that, quote, "Oh, I thought they were abandoned and that they were, quote, up for grabs."
What?
Oh.
Right, yeah.
You climbed through a barbed wire fence. Oh, they're up for grabs.
Right, whoops.
That's like, well, I smashed the lock off this door. I thought it was up for grabs. Like, no.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
And also, step back. I've seen people put out, like, furniture, you know, free, take it, you know, whatever. I've never seen anybody say, free beehives.
Free bees.
Come get your free bees. I've never, free bees. Free bees.
Oh! I got some free bees for you. Literally.
Oh, man.
Bees! Bees in the car! Bees everywhere! God, they're huge! They're ripping my flesh off!
Son, roll around! Do you hear me? Roll around on the ground!
Forget that! I'm starting to swell up!
Save yourself! Don't be the hero!
Frank, I'm allergic to bees. Me too!
They're huge and they sting crazy!
We'll come back later and check on you!
Yeah, in a while. Save yourself!
Your firearms are useless against them! God,
they're free. thought they were up for grabs. Like,
I thought they were up for grabs.
You had to climb through a barbed wire fence.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. If something is free, you usually don't have to climb through a barbed wire fence for it.
He was released.
They're just lying around.
Yeah. He was released on bail and later said in a second interview that, quote, he learned that the property used to belong to Graham Companies, called them up, and said that he did speak to, quote, a B manager who gave him permission to take the hives.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sure.
I don't think so.
A B manager.
Yeah.
Okay.
I spoke to the B manager.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm sure he's going to face later charges on this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, I thought they were abandoned.
So wait. Let me get this straight. So you spoke to somebody who said, yeah, sure, you can take them. But you still had to climb through a barbed wire fence. He didn't open the gate for you. He didn't give you a key. Nope. No, he's like, oh, yeah, you can take them. You just have to climb through the barbed wire fence.
Right. I left an obstacle course there.
Right. Exactly. Sneak past the machine gun turret. Bring your own bee suit.
I needed to see how dedicated you were to get
yes.
the bees.
That's exactly what it is. Prove how worthy you are of
the
bees.
So there you go.
A bee manager.
All right. I got another Florida story here for you.
Okay, a lot of Florida.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yeah, why not? Another Florida story here for you. A local Florida couple is facing decades in prison.
Wow.
After they allegedly pocketed over $8 million in bingo proceeds that was supposed to be meant for charities.
Where did they get $8 million in bingo proceeds?
67-year-old Larry Massino and 65-year-old Dixie Massino were convicted in the U.S. District Court. They were convicted of wire fraud conspiracy, money laundering, and because they didn't report the income and... From the bingo hall, they were also convicted of operating an illegal gambling business. So why not? I can play the gambling music.
Any excuse.
Yes. I love the gambling music.
Of course.
Larry was convicted of 18 counts of money laundering, and Dixie was convicted of 20 counts of money laundering. So here's what they did. The couple was illegally keeping the proceeds of bingo games they ran on behalf of the Okaloosa County Charities.
We've been to Okaloosa County.
I think we have before, yeah.
That's a name I've heard before in the odd news.
Florida prohibits many forms of gambling, but they do allow certain charitable organizations to operate bingo games as a form of legal fundraising. The stipulation, though, is that all proceeds from the games must go towards the charitable organization. No person involved in conducting the bingo games is allowed to receive any sort of compensation. The release says that the couple was paying themselves to conduct bingo games and were charging charity fees based on overinflated expenses.
Ah,
yeah.
They had a good racket going on for a while, it seems.
Right.
$8 million.
$8 million.
Rich, do you want to open a bingo hall?
Yeah, this is not chump change
Man.
Here.
That's impressive.
Right. And in addition, they laundered money. So they laundered more than $5 million through the bingo proceeds.
Wow.
So great. There you go. Black market.
That's awesome.
And for all of these charges, the Messinos now face a maximum of 20 years in prison.
That sucks.
As well as an additional charge for operating an illegal gambling business, which is another 5 years.
So 25 years.
Possibly, yes.
Man.
All for doing some shady bingo hall practices.
Like, you should just leave the state. Like, go somewhere, just flee the country. Get your money and just run.
Yeah.
Like, why stick around?
Well, I mean... $8 million that just kept coming in and coming in.
Yeah, I guess.
He just got greedy. Hey, that's gambling for you.
Yeah.
Yes, she was born.
Yeah, so unfortunately, though, when you gamble, sometimes you lose. And unfortunately for these two, yeah, they're looking at 25 years in prison. For their little bingo hall stunt. So
I, oh man, I feel like that could be a crime that I could get away with, though. You you set up a front organization.
Well, Mike,
right?
Let me help you.
No, I'm serious. You set up a front charitable organization, right?
Yep.
Didn't George Costanza do that once? The World Fund or something?
Human Fund.
The Human Fund.
The Human Fund.
You set up the Human Fund. Okay, so you're not taking any of the proceeds.
Money for people. Money, I love that. That was the simple slogan.
Well, it's true.
Money for people.
Money for people. But I'm serious. You set up your... I don't know how you would go about doing that. Like, what evidence do you need that you're a charitable organization? And then you don't work for the charitable organization. You get a very close friend who you say will split everything. They run the charitable organization. And you just collect all this money. You give it all to this organization. And then you just split the profits and you run away. You run away to Switzerland, Sweden, wherever.
Yeah, you want to go to Sweden?
Yeah.
Join Busey?
Of course.
I'm going to Disneyland. Come and go to Disneyland, all you people living in Sweden.
I've always said if I were to flee the country, it'd probably be Sweden.
All right. Well, there you go. Hey, they got Ghost and awesome metal music. I'm in.
There you go. I'm thinking more about like the beautiful Swedish models and the chocolate and the universal healthcare, but, you know, whatever.
Whatever floats your boat.
Whatever floats your boat.
All right. That's the end of Florida, but I got two more stories left, and they're both from Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Some local stories.
And actually both Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. So not local, so, but like, still PA.
I guess this is what happens when the Steelers aren't in the Super Bowl.
They just go a little crazy.
Right. They got to do something else here.
Wow, is Pittsburgh going to eclipse Philly as being really weird and crazy? They're going to start eating horse poop.
Well, here's the first story here. A Pennsylvania inmate tried to smuggle into jail over 70 doses of LSD, cocaine, meth, and a glass pipe, all stashed under her hair weave. Wow.
I don't know why that music for that.
Because I never would have thought of that.
That's pretty good.
In the hair weave.
That's pretty good. That's a lot, though.
Yeah. Like, is it like Marge Simpson? Like, it's like all the way to the roof?
I feel like that's a lot to stash in hair, right?
It is.
You said 70?
70 doses of LSD, some cocaine, some meth, and a glass pipe.
I feel like that's a good amount of stuff.
Yeah, that's like a suitcase full of stuff in your hair.
I don't know about a suitcase, but definitely a small handbag.
29-year-old Karima LaChandra Brown was booked into the Jefferson County Jail after she was charged with two felony counts. Unable to post bail, she was detained at the jail at Brookville, which is a borough northeast of Pittsburgh. Within a week of Brown's arrival, jail personnel began investigating an increase in the distribution of hidden narcotics inside the jail. During questioning, two female inmates who had been recorded on phone calls that they were using LSD inside the jail confessed.
Why would you talk about something like that on a prison phone?
Yeah, they shouldn't have done that.
That's so dumb.
They confessed that they obtained the LSD from inmate Brown. One of the inmates also provided a note, which was allegedly written to them by Brown. The note said that, quote, "Hey, you bitches bored? Get on my level."
Get on my level.
LOL. And then, quote, "Just say I love you when you figure out what you need."
Okay.
So right. I guess that was the code.
That's the code. She has a whole system set up.
Yeah.
But she left a paper trail.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's a rookie mistake.
You have to have a hierarchy that's going to protect you if you know, you get caught.
Yeah. Armed with a warrant, investigators then searched Brown, who was trembling. However,
I like that little detail they threw in. She was trembling.
Yep. However, following the search of her jail cell, no items were recovered. That's when someone had the idea to check her weave. And that's when they discovered all of the narcotics in her hair, as well as 8 ounces of meth, 8 ounces of cocaine, 78 doses of acid, and a glass pipe.
That's a lot.
Right. This is a lot of stuff in that hair.
They're like, hey, maybe we should check her 2 feet tall hair.
Right, her Marge Simpson style hair. Of hair.
I mean, I realistically don't know how much hair is required to hold that stuff. But
it
seems like a lot to me.
Yeah, it's got to be hitting the roof.
I don't know if it's that tall.
It's pretty big.
It seems like a lot.
The drug discovery resulted in additional 18 narcotics counts against Brown.
That sucks.
So, unfortunately, I don't think she's getting out of jail anytime soon.
And her business just got shut down as well.
Yeah.
That's rough.
That's a bad 1-2 punch. Stuck in jail and no business.
Oh, that note, though. You got to love that note.
Yeah. I love you.
I love you. What if you walk up to the wrong person?
Right.
Just like, I love you. And they're like,
oh, okay.
Grab your soap and meet me in the shower. Oh.
All right. And I got one more story here for you. Again, another Pittsburgh story here.
All right.
A naked Pennsylvania man was covered in cooking oil and tripping on LSD when he tangled with police officers.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Straight to the
point. Oh, this feels so good.
Why not?
Oh, good time to bust it out.
Oh, this feels so good.
Why not?
That's what the guy's screaming. He's just running down the street.
Use the new clip.
So naked, cooking oil, tripping on, what'd you say, acid?
Yeah.
Nice.
Nice.
That's a good combination right there. And the police are like, oh, come on. He's greased up so we can't even grab him.
Right. I thought this was only supposed to happen in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
19-year-old Lonnie.
No, in Philadelphia, we grease the poles. In Pittsburgh, they grease the people.
Okay. Yeah. Right. You won't climb up a pole now. 19-year-old Lonnie Betty II was arrested last month following a wild confrontation inside a trailer in Apollo, which is a Pittsburgh suburb. Police from three separate departments had to detain Betty.
One dude required three different departments.
Yeah. The report started when Betty was attacking five household members inside the trailer.
That's messed up.
As officers approached the door, Betty burst outside the front door, screaming, no, 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 no. I love how that's in the police report.
Did they get the right number of no's? No, no, no. Wait, one more? No.
Betty then made an acrobatic jump off of the porch.
What does that mean? An acrobatic jump?
Yeah, I guess this is like
a backflip?
This is like some sort of
parkour?
Tom Cruise, you know, movie stunt or something, jumping off of the porch here. And then continued to run naked through the snow.
Oh, this feels so good.
I hadn't thought about that. It is very cold out.
Yeah.
Very cold.
As Beattie continued to ignore police orders to stop, a cop then tried to shoot tasers at him. One finally hit Beattie and he fell to the ground. However, due to icy conditions, cops were having difficulty getting to Betty. So I guess it was so icy that they couldn't run out to get him.
They couldn't get to him?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. This is like a bad slapstick comedy routine.
Yeah. Police also had difficulty actually trying to control Betty on the ground because he was naked and covered in cooking oil.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's naked, covered in cooking oil, and they're also on ice.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
This is turning into like a Three Stooges. And
apparently he's a gymnast doing his acrobatic jumps.
You're right.
Just going to backflip over the cops.
Good form. Yes. Yes.
It's funny you say that because his name, I was thinking about this earlier, his name is whatever, the second.
Lonnie Betty the second.
The second. Every time I hear somebody named like the second or the third, seems very like prim and proper. You don't associate them with being a greased up naked person tripping on LSD, right?
Yeah, somebody's got to be that person.
somebody has to be that person.
Yeah. Otherwise, we don't have odd news to report.
He got the short straw.
Yeah.
He had to do it.
Betty's relatives told cops that earlier in the day he took acid, and that was when he got out of control.
Makes sense.
By the way, I love how there's no explanation of the fact why he's covered in cooking oil. Just no explanation.
I want to know, did that happen before or after the acid?
Yeah, right?
Did he grease himself up? He's like, all right, time to do some drugs.
Nobody will catch me now.
Right. I want to know. That's a good point you raise.
Nobody explained why he's got cooking oil all over himself.
That's a family secret.
It's an old family secret.
It's an old family secret.
Yes. When we go out for a night on the town, we cover ourselves in oil. It's a blast.
Grease ourselves up.
It's a hootenanny.
It's a hootenanny?
Betty was charged with 24 misdemeanor counts, including assault.
Wow.
Making
24,
threats.
That's a lot.
Endangering the welfare of children.
That's not good.
Yeah, the trailer had children in it. However, the case against Betty may be pared down to single counts of disorderly conduct and resisting arrest, because the family in the trailer has decided to not pursue charges. Wow. What a family.
You know why? Because
this is regular Thursday night here in Apollo, Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Well, we can't fault Betty the second.
Yeah.
You know, when he's just following he's family 19, tradition.
He's 19. Haven't we all had our libations when we were young?
Yeah. Don't you remember when we were young and we used to grease ourselves up and run around the trailer park naked?
And scare children.
Scare children. I remember those days like it was yesterday. But, Paul, it was yesterday.
Those were the days.
That would scare children.
Yeah.
Grease yourself up and start singing to them. Yeah, that's messed up.
Oh, this feels so good.
Now I'm just picturing somebody say this. They're just slathering cooking oil all over themselves. Yeah, I really want to know whether that came before or after the drugs.
Yeah. These cops. You gotta figure this out.
You gotta get the facts. You gotta get the facts.
Yeah, I'm disappointed.
They're taking shortcuts in their jobs.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I'm disappointed.
Can't do that.
At the very least, though, I'm glad that we got this sound clip some usage in its very first episode.
Oh, this feels so good.
And the perfect story, too.
Yeah.
The greased up naked dude tripping on LSD. That's great.
Yep. And running through trailer homes.
And running through trailer. Yeah. You can't forget that part.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And there you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd news. But before we officially call this episode... the end of this episode over. Let's go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
Well, I learned that greasing yourself up and running naked through a trailer park while tripping on LSD is just a simple, good old-fashioned Pittsburgh tradition.
Yes, that is... a family tradition among the Beattie family.
Yes. You gotta do it.
I can't wait till Beattie the third does it.
That's right.
And then Beattie the fourth.
Little Beattie the third getting his start.
Yep.
Yep. It's you know, every second Thursday of the month.
Somebody's gotta do it. Yep.
Somebody's gotta be that person.
Right.
And he was that person. God bless you.
God bless
Beattie the second.
Yes.
I also learned that bingo is a very profitable criminal empire.
Apparently, yeah.
And I also want to take this moment to announce that I'm hosting a bingo get-together this weekend.
Yes.
Just send all your money to the Michael Costanzo Fund for Children.
Yes.
It totally doesn't profit me.
What specifically does it help, what kind of children does it help?
Children of all ages. Even children that, you know, maybe they're older children, like 28 years old.
Yes.
You know, children come in all shapes and sizes.
Fair enough.
Just give me money. and send it in an envelope. I also learned, though, that if you see beehives out in the open... you can take one for free.
Yeah.
It's like take a penny, leave a penny.
It's up for grabs.
Right, it's up for grabs, yeah. A good indicator that it's free is if it's behind barbed wire.
Yeah.
Because not many people know this, but barbed wire is not to keep people out. It's actually like a welcome mat. You know, like, come in, take this stuff behind this barbed wire.
It's very shiny.
Yes. Yes. That is foolproof logic right there.
Shiny.
Shiny. I also learned, this one is very important, especially people in this area, you need to know, because we have a bunch of 7-Elevens here. You have to set the bar low for 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
You know, you should go in expecting filet mignon, not necessarily beef Wellington.
Right, come on.
You know, yeah.
Everyone needs to level their expectations here.
Right, right. Yes. It's not gourmet cooking.
Right. It's not Gordon Ramsay in the back.
Could you imagine? It's cold!
Of course.
Where's the duck sauce? And you're like, it's a pizza, dude. There's no duck sauce.
Right, right. We're here in the middle of, Norristown, and there's nothing else we can
this
do.
This is a hamburger shaped like a hot dog, Ramsay.
Right. It's 3:30 in the morning. There's nothing we can do.
There's no duck sauce.
Yes.
Or lamb sauce, whatever he says. I can't remember. And finally, though, I learned this is very important for all those people out there that are looking to get into law or politics. Article 5, Section 8 states that if your name is Crunch, you must become a captain in some form.
It's right there.
It's right, plain as day.
You might have to search a little bit, but it's right there.
It's in the fine print. You know, you got to read between the lines.
Right.
And then read even further between the lines.
It's what the founding fathers wanted.
I think so.
Yes.
I mean, you know, if you're a strict constructionist of the Constitution,
yes.
You know, you should understand exactly where we're coming from.
Constructionist and Captain Crunch.
That's right. The two C's.
Right. Perfect. And there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Chris McGill Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
No either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Oh, man. And there you go. Another interesting episode in the books. I feel like we did a pretty good gauntlet. We covered up what was left over from all the Eagles hoopla. We got to a little bit of some trailer news. We played a fun game with some SpongeBob SquarePants clips and languages. In which Bruno won.
Yeah, that was the real shocker, a pleasant shocker.
Yep. And we had some interesting odd news, and we had the debut of a new clip already.
Ooh, this feels so good.
2018's getting off to a brilliant start, man.
I think so. Eagles win the Super Bowl.
And we got a new clip.
We got that clip, and we got somebody at my spaghetti. So
it's perfect. I think it's the perfect storm.
Yes. But we got to start to wrap this week's episode up. Thank you for listening. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find video noodles, best bits, interviews, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where you have the mini noodles, the best bits of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, shrunk down to a 2-minute promo that you can easily listen to on the go and share with anybody that you love. The craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to share and get in touch with the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. You can find us on the Twitters. You can find me on Instagram. You can also find the Crispy Noodle Podcast on Instagram. I keep forgetting we opened up an Instagram account where we got some random funny pics as well that you need to check out. Some behind the scenes, some that are newsworthy. It's all around good fun. Make sure you follow that as well. But for now, that will wrap it up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Oh, this feels so good.
Hello, comrade. You are receiving transmission from Mother Russia.
I am here to tell you, best podcast of 2018 is going to be Crispy Noodle Podcast, okay? This is the kind of thing that tickle my ball when nothing else will tickle my ball in Siberia, okay? Crispy Noodle Podcast is best thing for 2018. You listen to Crispy Noodle Podcast. This is the show that is tickling my balls. The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2018 is you must listen, okay? Okay, yes, good. Goodbye, comrade.